The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Look at Matthew, please. Today we're continuing to talk about what makes us ancient future. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Christus Victor theology. One of the things that Christus Victor theology emphasizes is that because Christ is victorious, he has defeated the powers and the principalities. And that has kingdom living consequences, repercussions. So some folks, some Christians' eschatology these days is all about the future, and my ticket's bought, and my bag is packed, and I'm ready for Jesus to come. But we learn through, among other things, Christus Victor theology, that there is a here and now that is important because we are in the kingdom of God right now. We're in the kingdom right now. We have things to do. We've been called according to his purpose. And last week we looked at that marvelous phrase, called according to his purpose, and we said, what are the purposes of God? Well, the purposes of God are to recreate, to represent the whole of creation back to the Father as an offering to God, when all things will be made new again. That's one of our purposes. To help participate in the reconciling of the whole of the created order. That means we do something in the here and now, in the kingdom, in the right now. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew 13, and I want you to turn over to verse 24. We've just had a parable of the sower. You know that one, where different soils find purchase with the seeds, and some of them sprout and some of them don't, and so on. You know that parable. Jesus now tells a parable about weeds. But something really struck me about this parable this week in thinking about the kingdom and the right now. Because most folks, and it makes sense because it's the meaning of the parable, the ultimate meaning of the parable is that the godly and the ungodly grow up together. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. That's the ultimate meaning of the parable. And someday, God himself will separate out the wheat from the weeds. God will do the separating. The weeds get thrown away. The wheat is for a good purpose and is used. So that's eschatological thinking. Something's going to happen in the future where these things are going to be separated out. But I got to thinking about what it means, this parable, in terms of the right now. Jesus starts out the thing by saying this, the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, the kingdom of heaven is right now. Jesus tells his followers how to pray. And one of the things he says in his how to pray prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus elsewhere says, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is near you. And he starts out this parable that is in some ways ultimately eschatological, ultimately about the future, by saying something about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. So far, so good. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Some translations say, and walked away. I'll come back to that in a minute. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him, the owner, and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? Notice what the reply is of the owner. He doesn't say, oh my goodness, this is terrible news. All is lost. He knows exactly what happened, and it doesn't seem to faze him a bit. An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up, talking about the weeds? Should we go out there and rip out the weeds? Verse 29, no, I'll add, the unflappable owner replied. No, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat and bring it in to my barn. By the way, what happens to the weeds? Is it taken away or left behind? Taken away. What's left behind, by the way? The wheat. I just got to throw that in. The owner is unflappable. The owner is not upset at all, but rather says, hang on, let the weeds grow up. I've given you a picture today of both wheat and weeds, and I defy you to tell the difference. There is a kind of weed called a darnel. I shared this with you before, and looks almost exactly like wheat. Almost exactly. Now, the church fathers talk a great bit about this business of the wheat and the weeds, and God's people are the wheat and the enemy's people are the weeds. There's all kinds of commentary about that. And why in the world would God want the wheat and the weeds to grow up at the same time together? All kinds of interesting ideas and commentary on that. That's not where I want to look today. It really captured my attention when Jesus describes the enemy. And so today, I want to sketch out for you two or three or four things that the enemy knows and loves, and two or three or four things that the enemy knows and hates. And I'm hoping that we can use this as a tool to navigate the right now kingdom. I hope that we can use this as a wonderful example of living in community, because I see the parable mostly, at least today, in terms of community living. What's it like to be in community? Well, it's messy sometimes, isn't it? It ain't perfect, is it? No. Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about community. I think I've shared this quote with you before. He said, some people have a wish dream, that's his term, about community that they love and cherish more than the actual community itself. Now think about that just for a second. In other words, some people have this view of what community should be, and they love that more than community itself. Are you getting it? So I'm thinking today about wheat and tares, wheat and weeds in terms of community. Because one thing that ancient future faith says is that for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, we're going to live in community together. Look how the enemy behaves towards the community. Here's the first thing I noticed about the enemy. He works alone and he works fast. Look at the first part of the parable. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat. Isn't that interesting? He had to work alone. Everybody else is asleep. Some of the church fathers speculate about what asleep might mean. But for now, let's just assume that it means asleep. And the enemy is working fast and alone. He's got a limited amount of time, and so he's doing his thing fast and alone. And notice that he's doing it at night in the cloak of darkness when the opposition is asleep. Everybody's got to sleep. We can't fault them for being asleep. Nighttime's time to sleep. Did you ever notice that the enemy works fast and alone, especially when you're tired or vulnerable? Anybody ever notice that? Sometimes the enemy does work on you at night when you're asleep. But nighttime for you may be, oh, I don't know, the week after a marvelous women's retreat, after that high time up on the hill. Or nighttime or darkness might be for you when you get some bad news about a family member or there's something wrong at work. The enemy knows this. He works fast and he works alone. Here's something else I noticed about the enemy. And remember, I'm asking you to keep the umbrella of community over this. How would the enemy want to attack community? The enemy knows where the soil is good. Think about that just a second. It says the enemy came at night, yes, everyone was sleeping, and sowed seeds among the wheat. Do you notice that that must therefore mean that he knows where the good soil is? And he might even know that field like the back of his hand. You don't just go to some strange field and start throwing seeds around, do you? He probably knew where it was, this enemy. He probably knew how to navigate, and he knows where the good soil is. The enemy knows this. Do you think the enemy knows where there is a vibrant, godly, growing church and wants to get in and do junk? Is that possible? You better believe it. Do you think the enemy knows where you are growing and where your discipleship is budding and blooming, and that particular place in your life, whether it be prayer or scripture reading or meditation, helping others while you're being called according to God's purpose, reconciling the world, whatever you're doing, the enemy knows where that soil is good, and that's where the enemy's going to go. The enemy's not stupid. The enemy's not going to plant weed seed in a place where the soil is not good. That must also mean that the enemy knows how to plant. The enemy must also know something about planting. I was rereading parts of the Screwtape Letters last night. And if you've not read C.S. Lewis' The Screwtape Letters, by all means, spend $1.50 and get the book and read it. It's a wonderful collection. It's fiction. C.S. Lewis is writing a series of letters from one head demon to his under demon about how to infiltrate this particular Christian's life. It's fascinating. You have to kind of read it upside down, because when the enemy is talking about the enemy, he's talking about God. So the devil is giving advice to his underling about how to infiltrate this person's, say, spiritual life. And C.S. Lewis is a master at describing the human condition, and particularly the Christian one, about how to get in and how to plant weeds in good soil. The enemy knows where the soil is good, and that must mean that the enemy knows how to plant. And the enemy must also know the difference. Get this. The enemy must also know the difference between wheat seeds and weed seeds. He has to know the difference. Would the enemy go in and plant good wheat? No. So the enemy is discerning about seed. Oh, think about that just a second. You gotta believe that when it comes to Christian community, the enemy knows how to attack. And it might not, he might not come in with an evil combine to mow all everything down. He might come in with some good knowledge about soil and seeds, and how to plant stuff that isn't the real thing but looks like it. Ouch. The enemy knows and likes, the enemy knows and loves how to do damage. Have you stopped to consider that the enemy hates you with a deep, visceral hatred? The enemy hates community with a deep, vicious, purple, full-throated hatred, and the enemy wants to do damage. The enemy also knows that it might be that someone's first take on what to do about the problem is to snatch everything up. Just give up. Pull the whole crop out. But here's the thing that I noticed most about the enemy. I'll read the verse again. But while everyone was sleeping, verse number 25, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and what? Went away. Some translations say, walk away. What comes to mind when you see that, when you think about that? The enemy's good about discerning seeds and soils and then coming in and doing just enough to do damage and then walk away. I see an enemy who works fast and alone. I see that the enemy of community is someone who wants to say a little something-something and then walk away. I see the enemy of community as knowing the difference between seed and not being very discriminating about what's planted. I see the enemy of community as somebody who will not be accountable. I'll float in, I'll scatter some seed, might be good seed, might be bad seed, might be something I heard picked up on the interwebs, I don't know. I'll come in, I'll scatter some seed, and then I'm out of here because you're not going to quiz me about it. I'm not going to be accountable. The enemy came in, sowed weeds among the wheat, and walked away. Anybody else? Thoughts about that? Yes. Oh, yes. Did you hear what Heather said? Heather said the enemy also has enough faith in us to know that we can take that little something-something and then go crazy with it. Oh, there's so much truth in that. Last night, as I was reading Screwtape is writing to his nephew Demon, and he says, listen, you have these grand plans about destroying humanity, and all that's fine, and I salute you. But that is very immature, my son. What you need to remember is that you only need to place a little bit of doubt. You need to only place a little bit of bad doctrine. And it doesn't even matter about coming to doctrine, he says, because you can plant the idea that I feel good about myself and I understand the doctrine. You don't even have to get around to the doctrine itself. So we're living in the kingdom. Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Wait a minute, there's going to be some weeds in the kingdom of heaven? Yeah, we're living in the right now. And the kingdom is now and near us and here, and we're living in it. And yes, there are weeds. And I'm thinking about this today in terms of community. And when it comes to community, there are things that the enemy knows and loves, and there's things that the enemy knows and hates. Here are four of them. The enemy hates community. That seems like a no-brainer. But one of the things that comes along with community is accountability. And the enemy hates accountability. Remember I said a minute ago that the enemy is discerning about where the soil is good. The enemy's good about knowing where the soil is good and how to plant and what the difference is in the seeds. And that's why he does what he does, because he hates the field. He hates the owner. He hates the land. He hates the creation. He hates who it belongs to. And the enemy comes in and he does this because he hates community and he hates accountability. Here's the second thing the enemy hates. The enemy hates the daytime. The enemy hates the light. The enemy hates where he can be seen. The enemy hates being shown for who he is and what he's doing. And not only does he hate daytime, in fact, he hates time. Because remember, the enemy likes to work fast and alone. How many times in community have you seen people who flop in for a little while and can't handle the accountability and want to flop onto something else? There's a whole passage in Screwtape Letters that one of the things that this younger demon needs to do is keep encouraging his client, he calls him, to have wanderlust about finding exactly the right church. Because that way you can keep him from place to place to place, and there will never be any accountability. The enemy hates time, because time means accountability. Here's the third thing. The enemy knows and hates redemption. And the enemy knows and hates the new creation. Listen, both crops are going to grow up together. And one day, the owner will separate out the wheat from the weeds. The enemy hates that. Because one day there's going to be a new creation. And beloved, here's one of the most marvelous things of all. In God's economy, in God's kingdom, weeds can become wheat. The enemy hates that. The enemy hates the new creation. Finally, the enemy hates staying put and being planted. Enemy works fast. Enemy works alone. Enemy is discerning of seed. Enemy is discerning of soil. Enemy cannot stand to stay put because he hates the creation. Now, I want you to put those things into practice, or at least be aware of them, or use them as a lens to look through when you're looking at community. Beloved, what God is building here at Epiclesis is a beautiful thing. It ain't perfect. You know how I know? Because I'm the pastor, and you're in it. That's how I know it's not perfect. But as we pursue an ancient-future faith, let us hold like gold the peace and unity of our community, and let's be on our guard because the enemy hates it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day and this truth. And Lord Jesus, thank you for the parable that you gave. Help us to continue to see its depth and riches and meaning. And as we consider, Lord, how sometimes we might act like the enemy or be used of him, Lord, help us to be familiar with his ways and what he loves and what he hates. I pray today that this service of worship will be transforming for us. And Lord, there may be a few of us today feeling kind of weedy. Transform us into a beautiful stalk of wheat. Let us participate with your purposes in the world as you continue to reconcile it to the Father, who along with you, Jesus and Spirit, be glory and honor and blessing and praise and power and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.